Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson is designed to instruct us and to help us to stay the course in the kingdom of which we profess to be citizens. This material is often presented under various titles and questions such as, what a church is for, or sometimes simply the work of the church. Anything that exists ought to have good reason for existing, and this is true concerning the church. Are we doing what God expects those in the kingdom to be doing? We want to talk about the eternal kingdom, its mission. Now, the church is important because it is of God, existing in His mind before the foundation of the world, founded by and built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He being the head and the Savior of it, the church presented as His body, God's family, God's kingdom, and being composed of the saved, those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now it is noteworthy to be reminded that the New Testament speaks of only one church, even though there were, of course, many congregations. Never, ever does the Bible present God's church in terms of a denomination. And when we speak of the church, we're speaking of the kingdom of God, for which conviction there is abundant evidence. We shall consider our theme with several appropriate questions before us. Did God give His church a work to do? And if so, what is that work? And why did He give the church the work that He did? How is the church to do its work? Is the church sufficient to do its work as God has designed it? And what if the church fails to do its work? Are there things the church ought not to be doing? Well, it goes without much elaboration that many, both in and out of the church, are confused and misled regarding the purpose of the church and the work that God gave the church to do. We shall mention a number of things that are generally being done today that are not really the work of the church at all. It is unfortunate that many consider being busy as the same thing as doing the Lord's business. But that's not necessarily the same thing at all. What we do in our service to God must, first of all, have God's authority, as required by Colossians 3 and verse 17. Now, there are things the church is not to do. It is not God's intention that the church direct the affairs of civil government. Now, while we have legitimate interest and concern about civil affairs as citizens of our country, we should not involve the church in these matters that are purely political, economic, governmental policies regarding trade, foreign affairs, police work, elections, road building, such as that. But in matters of morality and ethics and truth, though often thrown by some into the political arena, the church should and must be involved because that involves the business of righteousness. For example, the issues of abortion, alcoholic beverages, gambling, so-called same-sex marriages, the teaching of evolution, intrusions against the moral standards of God, these are the concern of the church. Now, the church is not intended to provide the social life of its members by furnishing entertainment and sports and gymnasiums and playgrounds and camps and recreational facilities. And those who think so, we simply ask for the scripture that would authorize such things as that. The craze to have the church to entertain has, in some digressive churches, turned the worship services into near revelry. It shows a holy wow attitude, the worship being a religious hee-haw. And while places for assembly and facilities to do the work are necessary, it's not the work of the church to simply build buildings or temples or sanctuaries and such as that. For too long, many have depended upon glamorous buildings to be the attraction for the church. Disproportionate amounts of money have been spent building and maintaining elaborate buildings. But the church grew more rapidly, physically and spiritually, when our buildings were, as it were, on the other side of the tracks. The church is not in the money-making business or money-savings business. Some churches hold huge saving accounts, and they're drawing interest and hoarding funds, while people all over the world are dying, lost, without the gospel. Good stewardship of funds is one thing, but greedy and grasping brethren who just hold on to money while the work languishes, that's something else. I would fear to be an elder of a church presiding over large savings while the gospel is not being preached. It is not the work of the church, dear friend, to provide secular education. Secular schools are businesses, and they do not belong in the church budget. For many years, school people have dug into the treasury of churches for their schoolwork. But Christ did not die to provide chemistry labs and tennis courts and computers, or to make so-called scholars. Schools can be helpful, or they can be harmful to the cause of Christ. And for the last few generations, most of the colleges established by brethren have become enemies of the cause of Christ rather than friends, because they have led the way into digression and apostasy. Brethren have for too long bought that false teaching that whatever an individual can do, the church can do, and therefore, since it's all right for the individual to support an educational institution or a school, they think the church can do the same thing. But friend, secular education is not the work of the church. And the church is not simply to make people feel good, or to draw crowds, or build esteem, or get numbers and funds, or simply to be accepted by the community. The church should seek to please God, not men. And you'll never please all men anyhow. It's like the man and the boy and the donkey. They started out with a man riding the donkey and the boy walking, and some criticized, thinking the man should let the boy ride. So they changed places. Then some criticized because the boy should have had more respect for the man than to ride while the man walked. So they both got up on top of the donkey. Again, some criticized because they thought both of them on the donkey was just too heavy for the donkey. So they both walked. Then they were accused of being fools for having a beast of burden but not using him. You cannot please everybody. I say, why try? And some have befuddled the work of the church by seeking to do something without authority and then asking, what's wrong with it? Friend, if it is without authority, that's what's wrong with it. It must have authority for the work of the church to be as God would have it to be, just as we have to have His authority for what we do in worship, or the plan of salvation, or the organization of the church, or the terms of entrance. And the church is not intended to displace the civil government, nor the home, nor the school. But now let us consider what the work of the church, the eternal kingdom, is supposed to do. The church, first and foremost, is to glorify God. Ephesians 3 and verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We're to let our light shine so that others may glorify the Father. Matthew 5. And this includes assembling for worship services, Hebrews 10. And here God is praised. It means the church is to be the pillar and the ground of God's truth, 1 Timothy 3. Now let us consider further what all this involves. Christianity is a taught religion, John chapter 6. And Jesus sent His apostles out to preach and teach, Mark 16, Matthew 28. The early church, as it was scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the gospel, Acts chapter 8. Peter and Paul and Philip and many others, they taught the people. And they were set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1. And they were instructed to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4. The salvation of people is dependent upon the word, Romans chapter 10, James chapter 1. There is no salvation without the word being taught and believed and obeyed. Salvation of souls is the goal of the church as it glorifies God. Therefore, the church must give itself to the spreading of the gospel, God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And also, we are to be imitators of Christ in doing good works, as did Barnabas and Dorcas and churches who helped other churches. We are to be a people zealous of good works, Titus 2, verse 14. Good works involve what Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. But even the doing of good is more a means to the end of the preaching of the gospel than an end in itself. Benevolent work, as it is often called, is the way into the heart so that the seed, the Word of God, can be planted. The church was never designed to be the world's breadbasket, or the provider for all physical needs, or certainly not the promoter of a mere social gospel. Paul preached the gospel, Galatians chapter 1, without addition or subtraction, and he taught Timothy to do the same thing, who was to so teach that others could go and teach. Peter taught words whereby the lost could be saved, Acts chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 15. Paul said he preached Christ, 1 Corinthians 1, sound words and sound speech that cannot be condemned, Titus chapter 2. Peter said we're to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4. And Paul did not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, Acts chapter 20. Now many effective methods may be used to teach, but we should not become so top-heavy with methods to the neglect of the sound message. And friend, not every method of teaching is effective in teaching the gospel. Some methods reduce the gospel to something trivial and trite. Some contend that we can learn how to teach from the denominations. Listen to me, dear friend. The only thing we shall learn from denominations is how to have no respect for the authority of the Word. You do not necessarily teach error and truth the same way. We are to encourage people to believe and obey the gospel, not merely respond to some message. We're in the business of saving souls by the Word of God. And who is to be taught? The answer is, whosoever will may come. Because the gospel is for all. All need it, and all should have the opportunity to hear it. All men and women, boys and girls, capable of properly responding obediently to the requirements of the gospel, must be taught to do so. Every nation, every tribe, every color, every creature must be taught. All will be saved the same way, Acts 15:9. The same message must go throughout the world. Teaching God's truth is the only way to save the lost and to recover the fallen, as well as retain the saved. Teaching truth, then, that's the primary work of the church. But again, the church is commissioned and authorized to follow in the steps of Christ and to give assistance to those who are less fortunate and who are needy. James 6 and verse 10 authorizes doing good unto all men, especially to brethren. James 1 and verse 27 defines pure religion as visiting, that is, providing for, widows and orphans. It's wrong to neglect doing good, James 4:17. And there is benevolence for which the church is responsible, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Unfortunately, some have created unwarranted and sinful division and disturbance in the church by making laws about benevolence where God has not made them. Especially have some become irate at the church giving money to orphan homes. Well, that the church is to help the homeless cannot be denied, James 1:27, Galatians 6:10. And while others explode over the church giving funds to another institution to do its work, and I oppose that also, an orphan home is doing the work of the home. It is another institution, but it does what the church has never intended to do, that is, be a home. I would like to have some of these rabid disturbers of churches to show how can the church possibly care for any homeless, members or otherwise, without another institution in addition to the church. The church is not, it cannot be, a home. But the church can provide a home, and when it does, it is doing its work. Yes, in that instance, it supports another institution, but an institution that's authorized to exist. Churches can also assist each other in doing work of mutual specific interest. Churches in the New Testament cooperated with each other, but they never lost their congregational autonomy in doing so. There is no authority for a superstructure of the church. Now, the church is sufficient, friend, to do whatever God has authorized the church to do. It is not sufficient to do what God has never authorized the church to be or to do. It is not sufficient to be a home, but it is sufficient without the missionary society. Today, many have decided to establish corporations, broadcasting companies, extravaganzas of one sort or another, separate and apart from the governmental organization of the church as given in the New Testament, calling on churches to merely pay the bills. Well, this is going beyond the word. And what if the church does not do its work? Well, then who will? Do you think the servants of the devil will do it? No, God looks to his children to do the work of the church. And if they do not do it, it will not get done. Then how will God be glorified and souls saved and assisted? Yes, we are workers in his vineyard, and we must answer his call and enter into his labors, but always mindful to do it his way. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.